So, Hare Krishna. Actually, the whole motive of Krishna consciousness is to find Krishna. Where is Krishna? This is the question. Of all of Krishna's pastimes, the Rasa Lila pastimes is the most prominent one and the most significant. And also for our 64 round day, this pastime is very instructive. You remember that in order to increase the hankering of the gopis, Krishna had disappeared from their midst. He had also left Srimati Radharani behind. The gopis started to search for Krishna. They asked every plant, every tree in the forest, "Where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna?" I think we can understand the most valuable of all valuable possessions is really the association of God. When that association is no longer available, the devotee becomes like a poor man who once got a treasure and then lost it. He becomes so absorbed and possessed by trying to find that treasure again that he even asked trees and plants, "Have you seen my treasure? Have you seen Krishna?" The gopis only found Srimati Radharani, who had the same question, "Where is Krishna?" Only that in her, the urgency was much more than in all of the gopis. Rupa Goswami describes that Srimati Radharani's desire for Krishna is blazing. It's like a flame which comes from planet Earth and then soars through the universe and scratches the surface of the universe. This strong is the desire of Radha. So the gopis went with her to search for Krishna but couldn't find him. And it's very significant what they did. After they had gone very deep into the moonlit forest and reached areas where not even the rays of the moon could come, they decided that Krishna can only be found if he wants to be found. So they went, they gave up the search, they went to the bank of the Yamuna, and they started to sing the names of Lord Krishna which were so dear to them. And as they chanted, the white sand of the river Yamuna was glowing. It spread a very mystical, silvery light. And as they were chanting more and more, and becoming more and more absorbed in the chant, finally Krishna could no longer remain hidden. It said he just came out of the forest like the God of love personified. Lord Krishna usually has a pitambara, that is a scarf, not exactly like a chadar, which covers the whole chest, but it just hangs from the neck down like this. I know in Germany we would say Stola. He usually covers his chest with this pitambara. But this time, he had his pitambara in his hand to reveal his chest, which was decorated with a beautiful flower garland. A flower garland which the gopis had made earlier and presented to him. And he smiled. He wanted to show the gopis that I very much care for you. See, I have your flower garland. It's very prominently displayed. Please don't be angry at me that I left you. But the gopis were very, very, very grief-stricken. They decided to teach Krishna a good lesson. They took a little sand of that white sand and made a little asana and covered some of the clothes which they did not need really. And they made a nice seat and said, Sanasana, just sit down here, please. We have a question for you. There's Krishna sat down. They asked him what he considered to be love. After all, Krishna had called them in the dead of the night. They had left their families and their homes, and that meant in the society at that time they couldn't come back any longer. They had left upon the calling of Krishna, and they would be considered unchaste at home. So they had done this. And then Krishna, who had called them, had disappeared. Actually, first when they came, Krishna said, "Why have you come? You must know it is irreligious that young unmarried girls meet an unmarried boy in the midst of the night. But it can't be that you are irreligious. I think you just came to have a nice panoramic view of the Vrindavan forest in the night when it is lit by the moonshine." The gopi said, "Oh, Siam, you know why we have come. Don't tell us we should go back to our husband. You are the husband of all of the living entities. You are the lord of all of us. We have come to worship you." So Krishna had again said, Well, you can reach me by Shravanam and Kirtanam and by doing deity worship. Nowhere in the Shastras it is said that you should approach God and spend a night with him. You do your puja and your Shravanam Kirtanam. That's how you attain me. The gopi said, "Oh, Siddhartha, why do you always make such statements?" So then Krishna had left with Radharani, and then he had left Radharani in the forest also. And so the gopis remembered all this, and they thought, first you call us, then you go away. What type of love is this? I think we can understand the gopis' reasons. If Amala Harinam invites us to his wonderful house, and then when we come finally after a long journey to Zagreb, and he sees us coming and then he just goes out of the window somewhere else, then we would be highly disappointed with Amala Harinam Prabhu's hospitality, and he doesn't care for us. This would be our assumption. So what is your conception of love? Asked the gopis. First you call us, you invite us, then you disappear. What is... So it was a long discussion which then ensued, but at the end Lord Krishna reveals what is his love for the devotees. And I really want to tell this at this 64-round stage. Krishna says, "Oh, my dear gopis, who do not know my real intentions." Sometimes when my devotee worships me through the chanting of the holy names, I am not present. I disappear from my devotee outwardly. I don't do this out of disregard to my devotees. No, I do this so that the longing of my devotee becomes increased. In this way, my devotee will think, alas, alas, or in Croatian language, oh vaya, oh vaya, oh vaya. I am so fallen. I am so far away from Krishna consciousness. My life is actually useless. By this feeling of profound humility, the devotee will burn away from his heart all the last remnants. Remnants means the rest of his material conception. And then when my devotee is free from this material conception, then I appear. My dear devotees, I really think this is what Krishna also does to us on the island of Braj. Sometimes as we chant our rounds, Krishna seems to be, well, present is maybe not always the right way to say, but we feel fixed in our chanting, we feel very nice in our chanting, and we think, yes, Krishna is somewhere there, somehow. We may not see him directly, but just like we can conclude that the sun is there when we see the sun rays, so we can also conclude by our nice feelings in Krishna consciousness that Krishna is there. But at other times, better not talk about it. Let us not talk about it. We feel the opposite. Genau das Gegenteil. But instead of becoming frustrated now and think, oh no, this doesn't work. Oh no. And give up the chanting. We should feel very humble and humbled. And by this humility which comes, Krishna is quickly attracted and comes and is with us. This is what the gopis felt when Krishna disappeared from them. They felt very downtrodden and very miserable, and they went and just helplessly spent the time on the bank of the Yamuna and just chanted Krishna's favorite names. So, my dear devotees, when you have today made a wonderful experience by chanting Krishna's name for a prolonged time, and maybe you have also developed some feelings of humility, I hope you have, because that will attract Krishna. Another thing which I believe we could all realize, kirtan is powerfuler than japa. When we sit together and chant like this the holy names, in the association of devotees and with deities, and all together chanting, there's a tremendous snaga or strength or potency or power in the air. Could you feel this? And you can absorb yourself very nicely in the holy name. There is no question any longer of controlling the mind. Let me control the mind. What is the next syllable, you know? This is flows. And then Vikrama gets his wampas out. The devotees chant, Haribo! And it's very, very, very easy to be drawn into the holy name. To come into the ocean of the holy name. You must know that the Yuga avatar of this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not the king of japa. He's the king of Sankirtan. Sankirtano Pitalo Karun Kanadhato. He's Vrindavanda Stakur's words. He is the father of the Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name.
He used to tell his devotees, please, you all assemble at the doorsteps of your doors, and then you chant the holy name in Sankirtan. Srila Jiva Goswami informs us that Sankirtan produces a special delight. Like you usually don't scream when you do japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That specific deal. Shake your head and rock back and forth. You do this when there is Sankirtan. Because the Sankirtan produces a special type of delight. Delight, how do we say delight in Croatian language? Yes, something like this. There's a special taste is there in the Sankirtan of the holy name. And in this verse from Sanatana Goswami, which I like so much and which I always repeat, I hope you can hear it a third time on this japa retreat. Sanatana Goswami, he says that just hearing about Krishna is like binding him with a thread, but remembering him is like binding him with a rope, but then chanting together is glorification with many devotees. That's binding him with iron chains. And Krishna himself has said this. Once Narada Muni wanted to know where he can find the Lord, and Krishna answered, the two places where he is not. He says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, nahaṃ tiṣṭhāmi Vaikunthe, yoginam hṛdayeṣuva, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis, I'm there only where my devotees chant my holy name. That's where I come. I want to go there and want to be there. So, yes, we are here on a japa retreat, but we are also on a kirtan retreat, on a sankirtan retreat, and that's why Ojashvi has come from Sarajevo, although it was very difficult. He had to cross many mountains to come here, and many oceans. Mm-hmm. And that's why we thought that today, on our 64 rounds day, we would show you and encourage you, actually, that by kirtan, or by singing together, Lord Krishna is very easily captured in the heart. He's very easily there. This is the age of Kali, you might know already. It's an age where we are generally not extremely qualified. But in this age, because we are so ill, really, spiritually ill, the Lord has made a very powerful medicine which can immediately get to the root of the problem, and that is singing the holy names together. I could watch you, that you were chanting very nicely this evening, and I'm very glad that you could all feel this. Once the gopis came to Krishna and said, Krishna, you have said in this verse, the gopis also know shlokas, you have said in this verse to Narada that you are there when the devotees sing your kirtan, but why don't we see you? You seem to just say things, but not keep your promises. Krishna said, my dear gopis, listen very carefully. I am there when you sing my holy names, but I'm there in an invisible form, so, and I'm watching you very carefully. And I want that your longing for me, your yearning for me, is increased, and then I become visible in your hearts in the kirtan. So, I thought that today we will not have a very long night.
I can see some of you have really given their best and are a little exhausted. Others are just happily smiling because for them 64 rounds is nothing. So they see the young brothers and sisters thinking that, oh, it's such a big thing which we did. But you did a big thing. You did a good thing. Now I want to request you, don't go into the world and tell everyone how many rounds you chanted. It's not good. These rounds were not for you. They are for Krishna. And we are not wanting to become proud in the name of Trinadapi Sunichena Kirtaniya Sadahari and waste our or ruin our chance. We don't want to do this. When you chant, always remember you have to go the road of humility and because only then Krishna is attracted. We will request Ojashvi to sing one more bhajan, one more Hare Krishna, and then we will slowly go to rest. Tomorrow's program you will see a little later. I mean, you will see it tomorrow on the thing. We start again at 7 o'clock. And it will be a very important day. We will chant 128 rounds. Double it, huh? Shalom se. I'm joking. No. Tomorrow will be like the other days. We will have one subject which we work on. It's a very nice subject. It's called Awakening the Spiritual Heart. We learn actually things like meditation on the holy names. It's a very, let me say, very spiritual workshops we have. Tomorrow we learn again new things, but I wouldn't say they are techniques. We will concentrate ourselves on prayers to the holy name, on all these things which have to do with awakening our spiritual heart. We will chant tomorrow 16 rounds, like always. Those of you who want to chant more, it's nice, good. But and then the day after tomorrow, we will actually cross the ocean of material existence. It will be a very, very nice thing. We have, by Krishna's mercy, we've got a big boat, and we will go in the big boat to a monastery where no one is an ideal place because it's very ancient and there are no touristic activities. Like now, it's this nice place, but we are in the hotel after all. And we will chant there and we will have our workshops in the nature. And if Krishna allows, that's the plan for the day after tomorrow. Oh, we have more surprises we don't want to tell them. You have to see them. But for now, we will just chant together. And really, I thank you so much that you were really my best group. You were very obedient and I couldn't believe my ears. Most of you were observing Mona. I only saw one couple who had escaped and who were just quickly talking something, but then, oops, they remembered also. So I'm extremely proud of you. I thought you would never be able to do it because of
our bulking temperament. But
no, no problem.
So we will just chant, and after chanting, we will just peacefully end the day. There will be no announcements. You know, tomorrow at 7 o'clock it goes, and then you.